Well, we read Hebrews chapter 11 together, and as I said, whenever we were reading a very, I suppose, familiar chapter, I'm sure, to many here, Hebrews chapter 11 has been referred to as the chapter of faith. And you'll have noticed, I'm sure, and that's why I took time to read all through the chapter. You'll notice the amount of times that we said or it reads, by faith, by faith. The whole way through this chapter, you read those words, for by faith. So this chapter has been described by many as the chapter of faith. And we read in this chapter of those who are renowned for their faith. And some have called them heroes of faith. Now, most of them are named. But you will see as we come near the end of the chapter that there's those that are mentioned in this chapter because of their faith, and their names are not mentioned. So here we have a chapter with a list of men and women who are renowned for their faith. John Gill, as he comments on this chapter, divides these people into four categories. And really they're divided into the time that they lived. And you know, for the first group are the saints before the flood. And you'll read at verse 4 to 7 about Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Then the next group are the saints from the flood to the times of Moses. And that's Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. You'll read there their names, verses 8 to 22. Then the fourth group are those who lived from the times of Moses to the judges. That was Moses' parents, Moses, the Israelites, and the harlot Rahab, verse 23 to 31. And then the last group that Gill comments upon are those from the times of the judges, the kings, and the prophets. And that's from verse 32 on. You know, I was thinking about this division today. And you know, this spans a great period of time. And you know, that was encouraging me as I thought about this today, because you know, God just didn't take a small or a short space of time in history, and everyone that would have great faith was going to live in that time period. But here we find a great span of time and men and women who were renowned for their faith. And even whenever I think to our history, or not even in the Bible history, but those who were martyrs and were burned at the stake and had great faith, and they took their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That should encourage you if you're saved in this meeting tonight. It encouraged me today because I thought, well, we can have great faith then today. Because God hasn't put all the people with great faith in the one period of time. And we can be men and women today in 2024 who are renowned for our faith. So here we have this chapter before us, and we've a list of people who are renowned for their faith. But I want to take for my text this evening, verse 7. And I want us to think about this man, Noah. It says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. I'm sure anyone in this meeting tonight who knows their Bible could tell me all about Noah. Noah is a very familiar character to many of us who read God's word. And I would even go further. I'm sure if I was to come to the children in the Sunday school, or even the children in the children's meeting, they could tell me about Noah. They could tell me all about his life. And that's why I said, put your finger in chapter 6, 7, and 8 in Genesis, because it's there that we read the narrative of Noah's life. And you know, just to give a synopsis, and I was thinking, if I was to ask the child this, what would they tell me? What would they say about Noah? And I'm very passionate, and you'll find me referring to children all the time, because I have spent most of the years at Macrofield working among the boys and girls. So what would a boy or a girl in the children's meeting or Sunday school say to me if I was to say to them, could ye tell me about Noah? Well, they would tell me that God sent a flood to this earth because the people were wicked. You read that in your catechism. God told Noah to build an ark. The animals went in two by two. Some of the clean animals went in by sevens. People rejected Noah. And they rejected the ark. And the only ones that went into the ark was Noah and his three sons. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And I would feel that if I was to ask a child in our Sunday school or a children's meeting about Noah, that would be some of the responses that I would get. So Noah is a very familiar character to us tonight. But I just want, just for a few moments now at the end of this meeting, to consider a few things from this verse in Hebrews chapter 11 about Noah. And the first thing I want us to consider is God's warning to Noah. It says in our text, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Being warned of God. Now, what did God say to Noah? What was this warning? Well, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 7. Genesis chapter 6 and the verse number 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I want you to note the words at the beginning of that verse. I will destroy. Here's a warning that God has given to Noah. Look at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, and here it is again, I will destroy them with the earth. Then look at verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Three times in three separate verses, God says to Noah, I will destroy. And you know, God's warning to Noah was a warning of judgment to come. God was going to judge these people that Noah lived among. But the question has to be asked, why? Why is God going to destroy them? Why has God come with this warning to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy these people? Well, look at verse 5. Of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Now, in the last three verses that we read, we picked out the words, I will destroy. Now, in these three verses, I want to pick these words out. And God saw. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And then look at verse 12. And God looked, bit the same as God saw, isn't it? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So as we look at this warning that's spoken about in Hebrews chapter 11, we see it was a warning of judgment to come. And the judgment was as a result of the wickedness and the sin and the disobedience of the people. Now, how does that apply to us? As we sit in this church on Sunday, I have to get the date right here, the 8th of August, 18th of August, is it? 2024. How does that apply to us? Yes, we know the facts. God said he would judge the people for their sin. He gave this warning to Noah. But how does it apply to you and me tonight? Well, you know, God gives a warning to each one as we sit in this meeting tonight of judgment to come. And he gives it to us for the very same reason. Because of sin. Because of sin. Let me quote some verses to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. That's everyone. No exceptions. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God's saying that we all have sinned, that we're all sinners. As God looks down in this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, God sees you tonight as a sinner. And that's what God saw in Noah's day. He saw sin. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Here's the warning. Remember, God said to Noah, I will destroy as a result of sin. And God says here tonight, there's a punishment as a result of sin. And if we die in our sinful state, it says here that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Listen to this verse. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages, what we deserve. As you sit in this pew tonight and you're not saved, what you deserve tonight is eternal death. And that place described in Scripture as hell. So God saw. God looked. And listen, man or woman, boy and girl, in this meeting tonight, you will not hide your sin from God. You may hide it from your family. You may hide it from those that you sit beside in this church building. You may hide it from the elders in this place. But listen, God saw. And God looked. And he knows all about each one of us. And he knows if we're saved or if we're not saved. He knows about your speech. He knows about your actions. He knows about our very thoughts. God saw. God looked and God saw their sin. And men and women tonight, God sees your sin. And there's a punishment for your sin. God's warning to Noah. Then I want us to consider Noah's walk with God. Noah's walk with God. Let's look at that verse 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Those three words, moved with fear. Now, this wasn't a fear of his own damnation. This wasn't Noah fearing what would happen to him. But this was an awful sense of the judgment of God upon those he lived with. Those that he walked and done business with and rubbed shoulders with. He had an awful fear. After being warned of God, he had a fear for his family. He had a fear for his friends. Those he did business with. He moved with fear. Noah went about his business from that day, and he was moved with fear for his friends and his family and for his neighbors that they would be lost, that they would be destroyed. Everything he did, as he worked each day in the ark, and I want you to picture him, as he leaves his home every day and he goes to work on the ark and he meets with people and he speaks with people. I can see him as he goes and he does business. Maybe he needs to buy more supplies. I don't know. But as he rubs shoulders with people every day, as he looks in us in their faces, he has got God's word. God's told him, I'm going to destroy them because of their sin. And I believe from that day forth, everything he did, it says in this verse, he moved with fear. He had a fear that they would be lost. He had a fear that they would be lost. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And listen, Noah walked with God. Let me speak just for a moment to those in this meeting who are saved, who love the Lord. Is this your testimony? And I'm speaking to myself. Are you and am I walking with God? Now, it's easy to come to church on a Sunday with our Bibles under our arm, isn't it? It's easy to be here every Sunday. But day by day, as we get up every morning, and as we go to our work, and as we go to school, and as we rub shoulders with our friends and our family, listen, are we walking with God? Do we see the people that we meet day by day as those that are lost? We have considered the warning that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've considered that there's going to be a punishment. That if they're not saved, they're going to be lost. And a lost eternity for all, for a lost sinner's hell for all eternity. So as we get up in the morning and as we go about our business, are we walking with God? Have we got a burden and a fear that our families and our friends and our neighbors will be lost? You see, Noah moved with fear. You know, maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you come here Sunday night after Sunday night and you hear the gospel. You hear the preaching of the word. And yet tonight you're not saved. I fear tonight that as you hear this message, and you don't get saved, and you don't come and put your faith and trust in the Savior, that you'll be lost. It doesn't matter how much you love this place. It doesn't matter how much you attend here. It doesn't matter how much money you put on the plate if you're not saved. You'll be lost. And I fear tonight that there'll be those that'll sit in this meeting and they'll hear the message of the gospel and you'll walk out those doors and you'll reject it and you'll be lost. Noah's walk with God. Then we see that Noah worked for God. Let's look at our text again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things is not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What did Noah work on? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. In Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah to build an ark. You'll read there that he gave him the plan for the ark and the dimensions of the ark. You see, the ark was God's plan and it was God's way of escape from impending judgment. This wasn't Noah's plan. You see, God gave Noah the plan. Everything that it was to be made of, the size of it, the shape of it. And this was God's plan and God's way of escape. And you know, Noah believed God's warning. Because of fear that the people would be lost, Noah spent time in God's service. You see, Noah wanted to see these people saved. And he knew that the way of escape was the ark. So day after day, he worked on the ark. Noah was called by God to build the ark. You know, I'm sure, and I want you to imagine with me, as Noah goes out every day and he works on the ark. And I can see him working away there. I can see people laughing at him, mocking him. Sure, there's never been rain. There's no sign of rain. And they don't believe the warning that Noah, the warning of God that Noah has preached unto them. They don't believe it. You know, Noah, what are you building the ark for? And I can see Noah telling them, well, God has told me. He's going to send a flood. He's going to destroy you if you're not in the ark. And God has told me to build the ark. And Noah works for God. Day after day, he works for God. And the people, as they walk past, as they look at this man, they see a man who's faithful in the work that God has called him to do. Now I want to speak to the saved again. Christian, in this meeting tonight, I want to tell you, God has a work for you to do. Young man, young lady, older man, older lady in this congregation, God has a work for each one in this place. Maybe God has been working in your heart concerning some area of labor that he wants you to be involved in. And maybe you're pushing it to the side. And God is making his way very plain. See, you see, God gave Noah a very particular work to do. It was to build the ark. And maybe God's putting his finger on someone in this meeting tonight, and he's telling you, and he's giving you a very particular place to serve him. You see, Noah was a faithful servant of God. Do you know why? because he just did exactly what God told him to do. And day after day, you'll find him working on the ark in the service of the Master. You know, maybe you're unsaved, and we've already spoken about that in this meeting tonight. Maybe you're unsaved in this meeting tonight. I want to tell you something. There's men and women who have given their lives like Noah to serve God so that you can be saved. So that those who are outside of Christ can be saved. God has called them maybe to the mission field. There's people God has called to serve here in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church. And you know why? Because he's providing a way of escape for your soul. And people has been called to serve God so that you would be saved. Maybe you have a godly mummy or a daddy, a godly grandparent, or there's someone at home and you know they're praying for you. I came from a prayer meeting just before this meeting. And I want to tell you tonight, there was men and women in that prayer meeting, and they were praying and they were mentioning names. They were praying for you. You see, they were serving God because they don't want you to be lost. Tonight, we want you to be saved. You see, Noah worked for God. We're nearly there. Noah witnessed for God. You see, as the people passed by, day after day, they saw this man who believed God, who served God. And what was he doing? He was building an ark. And that was a witness to these people because they knew he was building an ark because God said there was going to be judgment. He was going to destroy the people with a flood. And each day as they look in this man, Noah is a witness of God's word, a witness of what God has told them. Each day they saw a man who loved their souls enough that he spent day after day, week after week, month after month building the ark. And each day as these people walk past and look on him, they come face to face with God's way of escape. They come face to face with God's way of salvation. Yet for most of them, they reject the man of God. They reject the warning of God. And they reject the salvation that God provided. Genesis chapter 7, and I'll just read them to you for time, sake of time. Verse 21 and 22. And all flesh died. So God's warning come to pass. It says here, all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, listen, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. You see, God's word come to pass. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight or you're listening in on the webcast. And tonight you're being confronted with the way, God's way of salvation. You've heard it tonight. You've heard that God will judge sin. And that if you're not saved, when you die, you will be lost. But God has provided a way of salvation. The Lord has died on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. And he offers salvation tonight. And you will be like these people in Genesis chapter 7. You will ever accept God's offer of salvation tonight. Or you will either accept it or reject it. You see, we read in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, that the people rejected it. And you'll read that they died. They were lost. But tonight God is giving each one in this meeting another opportunity. You are not guaranteed to be here next week. You're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow. But tonight, God has given each one that's not saved in this meeting an opportunity. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You are only guaranteed right now. And to now is the day of salvation. You can come right now, and you can come and put your faith and trust in the Lord. Last point, Noah was washed. Our text says that Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me read to you what John Gill said. I love John Gill's commentary. Let me read what he says about this phrase. "Not of the law, but of the righteousness of Christ, and of eternal life through that. For he was not only heir of this world as Abraham, but of that which is to come. And not through works of righteousness done by him, but through," listen, "the righteousness of Christ, received by faith," or through faith in Christ, "the antitype of the ark." As God looked down on Noah, God sees him as righteous in his sight. You see, I can sum that up. Noah was saved. Noah was saved. Genesis 7:7 says, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Pick those words out again. "And Noah went in." See, the ark was there. But what did Noah have to do? He had to go in. Verse 16 says of Genesis 7, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." You see, for Noah to be saved, he had to go into the ark. He couldn't just build the ark and stay outside. He had to go in. And then what does it say? The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. You know, some would say, and I've heard this said, that Noah preached for years and only saw his family saved. He only saw 8 people saved in his ministry. That's what some would say. Or they would say it like that. But I would see this differently. You see, I believe it's one of the greatest blessings in life to see our families saved. I sit in prayer meetings in Macrofelt and I hear mums and dads crying because their sons or their daughters are not saved. Weeping. And yet here's a man, and he is the greatest blessing, I believe, because he has saw his family saved. It says in verse 16, "And they went in." And here, I've said this point as Noah was washed. Noah was washed in the blood. He was saved. He was in the ark. And you know, my question to you tonight, are you in the ark? Are you saved? God has provided a way of salvation. One of the most well-known verses, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How can we be saved? How can we be saved tonight? Just come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and life and to be your Savior. And he has promised in his word All that the John 6 and 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me, listen, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, Noah was washed. You know, tonight we have heard a warning, judgment for sin, a way of escape, the ark, a picture of God's salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take you to one final verse and then we're finished. Time's gone. Genesis 7 and 16. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh as God had commanded, and the Lord shut them in. We've already mentioned this, and I want you to get this. The Lord closed the door. And that door kept those that were inside the ark safe. But it also kept those that were outside the ark out. Because once God shut the door, it was too late for those that were outside to come in. All their laughing's over. And you know, I've imagined this. You imagine tonight being outside the ark. You imagine being outside the ark and it starts to rain. Starts to spit. You've never witnessed this before. The clouds start together. It starts to rain and the rain gets heavier. Think of the panic. Think of those maybe beating at the door that God has shut. Think of them crying out to Noah for him to open the door and let them in. And you know, as I would, but Noah couldn't. If I could save you tonight, I would. But Noah couldn't open the door because God shut the door and it was too late. And God's judgment had come and they were lost. Just you think of that scene. Imagine being outside the door and crying, looking in, and you can't get in because your day of opportunity is over. You know, God has given you an opportunity tonight to be saved. For you tonight, the door's open. The fact that you're in this meeting tonight and you're listening to the gospel, that's no mistake. And you have an opportunity to get saved tonight, to put your faith and trust in the Savior and to come in to the ark. Because there's coming a day that God's going to shut the door. Now, he may shut the door for you personally. And that will mean you will never be saved. But there's coming a day when this old world will be over. And God will come and the door will be shut. The door of opportunity will be shut. And once that happens, you're lost. And as we've already said, the only opportunity you have is now. Because you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tonight brings. Listen, as we finish tonight, don't be like those in Noah's day. Come. Be saved tonight. Put your faith and your trust in the one who came and died for you on the cross. And whenever you come into the ark, remember the door was shut, you'll be safe. I love that word, saved. You'll be safe in the ark because God will keep you. He'll be your Savior and your friend. It's my prayer tonight that as you have listened to this word, and if you're not saved, that you'll not go out through those doors tonight until you come and you get this matter settled. And you put your faith and your trust in the Savior. We're not going to sing any more hymn. We had a hymn to sing. We're just going to close our meeting in a word of prayer. And with our eyes bowed and our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe God's working in your heart tonight. You speak with us as you're going out. Maybe you have someone that you're in the meeting and you trust and you know them well, speak to them. But don't leave this meeting tonight without getting this matter settled. The window of opportunity, the door of opportunity is open tonight. Come, put your faith and trust in him, and he'd be glad to save you and make you a child of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your help tonight. We thank you, Lord, that for a Savior who loves us and died for us and gives us, made a way of escape so that each one can be saved and born again. Lord, we pray for this meeting tonight. We pray for those that have heard thy word. We pray for thy people. We pray, Lord, that it have been an encouragement to each heart. But most of all, Lord, we think of those that are not saved, those that are listening on, even on the webcast. Lord, I pray that they'll not take another step without getting this matter settled. Lord, I pray that you'll save tonight. I pray that you'll work in hearts, draw men and women, boys and girls, unto thyself. Lord, we pray that you'll take us to our homes in safety. Lord, when the voice of man now grows silent, I pray that your still small voice will speak on. And Lord, draw men and women, boys and girls, unto thyself. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We'll leave the matters of this meeting with thee. For we ask these things in thy name's sake. Amen.